It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and you are about to enjoy the Ask Ross segment brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Rumor mill. Our friends at 409tailgateclub.com will be visiting next week. Since we know Ross doesn't listen,
we're pretty sure that's not a rumor.
No, it's not a rumor. It's a fact.
Yeah, so Ross will definitely be in next week.
Well, I would suspect
he's going to clear the sked.
But nobody here on staff, nobody tell Ross that we're having the guys from 409 in, so that way he doesn't do his prep, and we can watch him eat the second plate of food because he can't help himself, and then go into a coma. But I just want him not to know. And it's like, well, you got to be here. You got to be our teammate. You got to know these things.
Whenever I hear the Ross can't help himself eating wise stories, I just think of Homer Simpson. That's just funny. You know what I mean? Not to say that he's Homer Simpson, but he just can't help himself when it comes to food that he likes to eat.
So anyway, Bob Flanders. He's from Penn Live and the Patriot News. He covers Penn State football. He's going to sit in for Ross and answer your questions. And thank you to all our listeners out there for sending in your questions. You keep us engaged during the offseason and in season. We have plenty to talk about in season, but we ask your questions every week. Go to the Ask Ross tab on our app, Keystone Sports, and send in your question. Hey, if your question comes out number one, you will receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get some rubs, sauces, and a tailgate with honor apron. So you have that on you, Bob. You got to pick the top question of the week. Are you ready?
Yep. Let's go.
Let's go from Michael in Baltimore. Bob. There.
Modification. Got it. Good.
There. How does the coaching staff determine who participates on the practice squad? I kind of like that.
Talking about the scout team?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
who's on the scout team?
I mean, it just depends on who's prepping. I mean, so if they're facing – I mean, like, look at the quarterback you're playing. You want a dual threat. Sometimes you don't have to put a quarterback at that position. You'll put a receiver who maybe played quarterback before, but you're trying to simulate game speed for the defense that week. I think it's a bigger deal for scout team offense than it is for scout team defense. And also you want – I think you want – the guys on the scout team, I think you think pretty highly of them. That's not always the case, but whenever I think of scout teams, it's always interesting to see how the coaching staff gets ready for a dynamic athlete, whether it's at quarterback or running back, but especially at quarterback,
because
you want to try to approximate the speed as much as you can of what the defense is going to see. And there's always some interesting choices. But not everyone is always an elite prospect or redshirt on the scout team. And I think that James and his coaching staff really appreciate the guys on the scout team that really go all out to give the first team and key second team guys the right look. I think sometimes it might take a special kind of guy to put on the scout team because it's not for everyone. But I think it's always, to me, is the most interesting in the post-game media interview room. Whoever played the quarterback, like JT Barrett back when, before he got hit all the time and went really early in his career, that must have been a tough chore to get ready for, like JT Barrett in 14 or 15.
Cool. I knew you'd give us a great answer. All right, let's keep going. James in Midland asks, without Mike Gesicki, how – do you expect the offense to be different this year? Will it utilize more blocking, a.k.a. Nick Bowers, or passing, a.k.a. John Holland, from its tight end group?
It's one of the big questions, I think, of the offseason, and I don't know. That's why I don't really have anyone like Mike Gesicki. Who does? You could say they don't have anyone like Saquon Barkley, but Miles Sanders has a chance to be pretty good. I don't know that there's anyone that you say, hey, they don't have Mike Gesicki, but man, this guy has a chance to really do something. There's no one. The fact that he never came off the field says a lot, not only about his ability, but it says a lot about what he had behind him. You know, I thought John Holland was going to play more in 2017. James mentioned him at the end of spring. He looked okay in the blue-white game. Never saw him.
Right.
Nick Bowers, keep hearing he's a physical guy.
We all know about the dunk
remains
video.
Remains to be seen. I think that is a reason why. I think there is an opportunity there. And I do think that's one of the reasons why they're grooming Tommy for this new role. There's an opportunity there for him to be a to do some tight end things for them. But I do think when it comes to blocking, I'm anxious to see Nick Bowers.
Me too.
I want to see this guy because I'm trying to remember the last Penn State block 10 tight end I've seen move somebody off the line of scrimmage. I just can't remember when that's been.
Corliss,
I mean,
maybe?
Jesse James is a big guy, but he wasn't that guy.
Blocker,
Kyle Carter wasn't that guy. Adam Brenneman, love him, wasn't that guy. So Mike Gesicki obviously wasn't that guy. Corliss was not that guy.
Corliss was not. I mean, I'm going back. Yeah. That's
like the only one we could think of is the guy who played on that 94 team that turned out okay, Kyle Brady.
Yeah, he could block.
Yeah. Now, I know they would like to change that, but it's easier said than done.
Correct.
Because you look in high school, the guys that are recruited to play tight end are usually wideouts in high school, but the guys that are tight ends in high school, there's really not a like. There's a reason why they're tight ends and not receivers.
There's a reason they're tight ends in high school. Yeah. So, all right. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and this Ask Ross segment with Bob Flounder sitting in for Ross Tucker is being brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. That's 409tailgateclub.com. Go to their website. You can get all of their rubs and sauces. And if you need something catered, I'm telling you, they're cooking of flesh. On a pig.
Not human flesh.
No. Flesh that you can eat is fantastic. They are great pit masters as well as being.
If they're listening, I don't think this is a great endorsement the way you described it, but we really like the food.
They're really good. I bought some of it. I gave it to a friend as a gift basket for his birthday, and he was a very happy lad. All right, let's go. Moving on. Question number three. This comes from Tony in Edders. Ohio State has recently given a huge pay increase to their assistant coaches to now make over $1 million or $1 million. Do you see this trend continuing across the country, and do you think Penn State will follow suit? Thanks. Well, we brought up Ohio State.
Well, Schiano got a nice little bump. I think that's one of the guys he's referring to, and there were some rumors that maybe he would join an NFL staff. I don't know how true that was. I do think it's – I don't know that – I think Ohio State is like the top of the charts
right.
as far as, pay, and I'm sure Alabama does some nice things. But the coordinators are, the idea is to try and get head coaches to be – or guys that you think that can be head coaches
right.
as coordinators. Joe Moorhead was a head coach.
Yeah,
I do think that if you can get a guy – and you can get him to stay there for a long period of time, and you recognize his value. I think he is a seven-figure guy. And I do think if Penn State's not already there, they will be there. But not everyone can afford to do that. Not everyone has the operating right. budget to do that. But I do think that it's a trend, and I think Michigan's just made a bunch of moves. I think McElwain just joined the Michigan staff as the de facto OC.
The ex-Florida coach.
I'm sure he's not cheap. But, yeah, I mean, I think the more head coaches you can have on the coaching sideline, the better in-game adjustments you're going to be able to do.
Okay, moving on. Let's go to Dominic in Cranberry Township. With all the recent position changes, funny, we just talked about that in segment two. There is only one that really baffles me. What do you make of Daylon Darien moving to linebacker? I just don't see him as a linebacker. Help me out, guys.
Well, I'm going to hazard a guess here that maybe Daylon doesn't have the greatest hands in the world, and then maybe he's made some significant gains in terms of weight and strength, and they have a need at linebacker for depth. And if they feel good about the wide receiver group and who's going to play, and if they don't think he has any chance to play, you just go to him and say, if you're aggressive enough, that's got to be the reason. I mean, but – I've never heard of that either. Wide out to linebacker. That's one of the more unique.
That is a unique
conversions.
One. Has to be an outside linebacker. Maybe Cole Farmer's backup. But you have Jarvis Miller.
Yeah, I'm guessing that maybe he's got Roberto Duran disease, hands of stone.
Ah, you talked to Roberto Duran. Hey, This isn't on the sheet, but I want to fire one at you. I do. We have plenty more, and it won't take you long. Do you have a man crush yet for this team?
Ooh.
Now Buckholz no longer qualifies because
Manny Bond was a little bit, and I was a little disappointed how things played out right there.
Do you have a man crush yet that you're seeing?
It's too early for Micah. Okay. He's got to earn it. He's got to earn it.
It could be no. No.
I do like number 99, Yator, Ross's guy. I think he's one for sure. But I think I'm going to let the spring play out.
And then we'll see.
Midway through spring, I'll have one for you.
All right, let's roll over here. This one's from Matt in Harrisburg. Hey, guys. The Big Ten scheduling rotation has Iowa as the only West team to be on Penn State's conference schedule every year during the first cycle of the nine-game mandate, 2016 through 21. They had to go nine games. I'd like to hear your comments on how you think this affects strength of schedule, as well as thoughts on any coaching or team approaches that might arise from familiarity with Iowa. Also, excuse me, as a fan, how can you relish the thought of traveling to Kinnick's House of Horrors two times in the next four seasons? Thanks.
Well, first of all, Iowa City is an underrated town. It's actually – and the Iowa atmosphere is great. I mean, I don't know if you saw that 21-19 game in prime time where the black and yellow and they have the tradition of waving to the kids in the children's hospital. I would think that Iowa is one of the more underrated stops on the Big Ten circuit. As far as having to play them every year, I mean, here's what I mean. I think it's actually in Penn State's favor. Usually Iowa's good like every other year or every 3 years, and you don't have to worry about them every year because it takes them time to reload. Like they're missing Akram Wadley. They're missing Josie Jewell and that corner who might be a first-round pick.
He might be a first-round pick.
Yeah. Josh Jackson.
Josh something.
Yeah. So they're losing three good guys. This is the right year to get him at home. So I kind of like the stability, and I think I would also recommend if Penn State fans get a chance, Iowa City's pretty fun.
You think that's should be a destination?
If you can afford it, I definitely recommend it, especially earlier in the year.
Here's the thing about Iowa. They're a team that you always – this is what I think of Iowa in terms of Big Ten. You should beat them. But they're harder to beat than you think every single time for some reason. You can never figure it out.
Yeah,
that is always Iowa in a nutshell to me. Okay, spotlight, pressure's on.
In a surprise, I'm gonna go with Matt and the Iowa question. I thought it was a unique look at the schedule, and also his thoughts about. I think we're sleeping. A lot of the fans are sleeping on Iowa City.
All right, that'll do it for Ask Ross. Thanks for sitting in, Bob Flounders. Quarter number four, we bring it home strong. Come with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Scott Shirley, Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes. I'd like to personally invite you to join us for a very special event. Coach James Franklin will be coming to Stocks Manor in Mechanicsburg on Thursday evening, March 15th. Come hear Coach Franklin speak about building a winning team and learn more about the work that Uplifting Athletes is doing for the rare disease community. There will be appetizers, drinks, and photo opportunities. Please go to upliftingathletes.org where you can register for tickets. We hope to see you there.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-LONG.